Father, we thank you for this morning. We are so, so grateful for the privilege we have to share your word and to realign our lives to your eternal purpose. We lay our lives before you today and ask you to do with us what you decide or whatever you desire. We are your branches and we are to bear fruit. So this morning we take in, and your word says that the acknowledgement, it said the effectual communication of your faith is going to be revealed by the acknowledging of the things that are in you. So this morning we are not asking you to do anything you have not already done. We are acknowledging who we are in you. We receive the revelation of what we have and what we ought to do to bring out what we have. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to take off the first session and try to share with us on kingdom principle for increase and fruitfulness. And as we look at the scriptures, you will find out that the Old Testament is a picture of, it's a shadow of things to come. So there was nothing established in the New Testament that doesn't have a foundation in the Old Testament. But I hope you understand that the New Testament itself, or the Old Testament itself, is a continuation. The New Testament, thank you. The New Testament itself is a continuation of what started in Genesis chapter 3. There are two, the scripture is just divided into two parts. Not necessarily Old and New Testament division, but the first division, I would say, is the natural creator's perception of what his planet should be, which is Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. The second part is Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation 22. And because in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we have the original thoughts of God, his plan, his purpose, how he intends for this planet, how he intends for this planet to run, and how he intends for man to operate. Everything about the will of God that is finished in eternity is stated in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. So you see the natural thought, you see his mind. Those are the two scriptures where everything remains original. But from chapter 3, when man fell, God had to release the plan of redemption, restoration, restitution, re-engineering. All of the re is a product of something that had been done before that we messed up, and we are redoing it. Regeneration. Regeneration is simply to regene a person. That is to change the gene that he carries to a new gene. So all of that begins from chapter 3 of Exodus, of Genesis, or through to Revelation. Of course, in between that, we have the reports of the Old Covenant, and then we have the New Covenant. So that still stays. But I'm trying to say that from chapter 3 of Genesis, it is a redoing something. It's redoing something that was originally done. So if you are really going to take your blueprint, and that's why I love to preach from Genesis 1 and 2 a lot. I love the place. I can spend 1 year preaching from Genesis 1 and 2, and I will not exhaust it. Now, the reason is that you also need to understand the law of first mention. That in the first mention, when a thing is mentioned the first time, it sets the law of precedence. The law of precedence, which tells you how a thing operates. And if it becomes, if it is a precedence, then you cannot measure, you cannot give a different interpretation to it when you get to any other part of the scriptures. For instance, the amount of glory and power and all that is ascribed to the devil today is contrary to the earliest revelation of Satan that we have in chapter 3. We're told he is very cunning, he is very crafty, above all other animals and all that, and whatever, whatever. And then began to also explain how he operated. He came in craftiness. Two, he also came using words. Three, he never forced the people to do anything. He suggested to them. Four, he also created doubt in what they knew to be. He created doubt in the absolute. The absolute was, don't talk this. Whatever God says is final. Then once he succeeded in suggesting alternatives to absolute, then he got them. And you can read everything there. And at the end of the day, then you know he always promised what he can't deliver. He promised to open their eyes, then he removed their spiritual sight. So he promises what he can't deliver. These are the cardinals of satanic operation. And go through any other passage of the scriptures from that point on, you will never see where Satan made people do anything. He will use craftiness, he will use words, he will create doubt in your absolutes, things you know that this is a no-no. He suggests something else he cannot offer, and then you run into trouble. So you see that the law of first mention, the entire book of Genesis set the precedence. I think I shared something on that here before. The law of precedence also, you know, you find the entire Genesis giving us the law of first mention. For instance, the first time prosperity is mentioned in the scriptures is in relation to journey. It says, and the man was great and increased, and he became very great and prospered in his journey. So prosperity has to do with a journey of life. It has to do with a purpose where you're traveling to. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So you see all of those laws there. If you take one in Genesis chapter 1, you can't get to Revelation and mean two. It's going to remain one. If you take two, whatever it portrays, in the first day there was darkness upon the face of the deep. God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the first day of the New Testament, when the light of God came, there was in the beginning was the Word was God, the Son was in the beginning with God. In him was what?
Light.
And the light was?
The light.
The light was the light. So you see that the first day here, there's light. The first day there will be light. So that's the parallel. That's because it's the book of first mention. You find that. Therefore, if we get back to Genesis, if you really want to know what the kingdom principles are for fruitfulness, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and see what the default setting is. On your telephones, on your computer, there is a place they call reset. There's a reset button. Now, you do not press reset button except you have trouble with your system. So, the computer or your telephone had me preset to certain things called default. By default, it should do A, B, C. When you come here, it should give you this. When you come here, it gives you that. When you now buy the phone or the computer, you start changing the setting. Maybe the password could come with 000, maybe quadruple or, you know, whatever, 3, 4, 6 zeros or 10, sometimes, depending on what product. But you are required to fix a password. Then you say 1960. Once you type in 1960 and accept that as password, it has changed the default setting. And then every time you want to access your phone, it now goes to default setting. If you are using some of the ones that we use that has sensor, you know, at the back, if you scan your index finger right, it will not recognize the left. I scan my left, it doesn't recognize the right, except I store it as an optional password. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if I now have trouble, and I don't know, you know, maybe certain things are missing, or I don't know what to do, or I've lost certain things, I can go to reset button and say reset. Then it will warn you, the button you are pressing, this key, if you say yes to it, it takes you back to factory setting. The exact way it was made, the way you made. So whatever thing you have said is going to be wiped out and send you back to factory setting. And so essentially, I'm thinking that we need to go back to press our reset button. Amen. So that we probably just need to go back to the factory setting, and then we can see what, you know, the difference between what we do now and where God intended us to be. The master plan that was in the heart of the craftsman is in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. If I were to teach on these verses alone, I need an average of 10 hours to really teach properly on these verses. So I won't even attempt it. But I can pick a few things out very quickly for you. I want you to know that the factory setting of every human being is that he comes in the image of God. And that's why when God was not looking for, when he was asking Adam, where are you? God was not necessarily saying he didn't know the location of Adam, physical location, because he is omnipresent, he's everywhere. He's omniscient, he knows everything. And if he knows everything, he knows exactly where Adam was. But I think he was calling out his image. Adam, you named all the animals you gave. This is your garden. This is your territory. What has happened to the man that named everything? Where are you? The first question was, Adam, where are you? The first question of the Bible and Old Testament is, Adam, where are you? The first question of the New Testament is, where is he that is born, the king? So God is always looking for his image in us. And so he made man in his own image. Now, you do not need, this is not a rocket science. Without any stretch of imagination, you know how fruitful God is. Because having 7-point-something billion people on earth already tells you that God is very fruitful. And besides, all of the creation of God, the trees, the herbs, and the things we find all around that are all living, and in the winter period or in the dry season here, everything dies off, and then the fall, and during the rainy season here, everything comes up alive and they start producing fruits, and we start to go and feast on the fruit. That tells you how serious God has, you know, in his creation, you know, cultivated in how God has implanted his creativity into nature. The earth itself becomes a fruitful ground. And it was by his word, let the earth bring forth. So God ceded the portion of his sovereignty and creativity to the earth. So he ceded the same to animals. So the animal kingdom do not need prayer requests to be fruitful, because it's built into them. The same thing with human kingdom, that we do not need any, because by your default setting is fruitfulness. It's a default setting. It's been planted into you from the beginning. And that's why we have the ability to procreate. Animals could procreate. They don't create, but they procreate. And the trees could procreate. Everything. So the default setting is that of God's image, which is fruitfulness. And then he brought that to bear when he moved on to say, God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God said, let them. God blessed them and said, now be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. So one is fruitfulness. The other one is multiplication. You know, I think sometimes we just limit everything to fruitfulness. We don't understand that God wants us to multiply. In other words, God wants to increase your life here on earth. He wants somebody to go to Canada and find you there. He wants somebody to go to Congo and find you there. He wants somebody to go to Japan and find you there. Yesterday, my younger brother was talking to me about a pastor who has made so much impact in Zaria or something, and that whenever he travels, wherever he goes around the world, whether it's London or whatever, wherever he travels, he just finds 2-3 people coming all around him And they said, thank you, sir, pastor. And they said, what do you need? And all that. He said, where do you know me? He said, you bless us in Zaria. When I was an undergraduate, when I was a youth copper. And it's all over the place. God wants you to multiply so that wherever you go, you are already located there. Wherever, the whole earth is having a feel of you. It's not just increasing. You know, to increase is just the first step. But from there, you are supposed to be duplicated, multiplied into all around the places. I was somewhere ministering 2 weeks ago in one Redeemed Church and all that. I didn't know I was going to see so many people. I saw my stockbroker there. I saw someone else who was, and then the person was making an announcement. He said, I'm so blessed today. The guest speaker, he was my pastor years ago. He would send buses to carry us. And I said, this guy was an undergrad. He was he was just in secondary school or something. He hadn't even gotten into the university. And we sent buses to get him about 19 years ago. And the guy, he just was testifying. And all that. So when he came there, I was looking at him. I said, Holy Spirit, remind me about this guy. Because he knew so much about me. And so after the service, you know, he came, greeted me. Daddy, thank you, sir, for you blessed me. The foundation you laid, I'm still continuing. And another one came and then... You know, I saw about 5 people and everybody was. And the pastor said, you have as many as 5 people here. By the time the program was running off, I saw a team of 5 or 6 young men who were all members of our church. And they were all in the university at the time. And, you know, they just said, look at us here. I said, you, are you here? He said, yeah. I remember you. And then just all of them, and they all came up, and everybody said, the seed you planted, we are all here, we are still doing fine. We're serving the Lord, we are serious. This one said, I'm a full-time pastor, and all that. And when we went to pastor's office, we already have 10 people from that church who were all associated with me, and then the pastor said, well, this is a branch of your church right here. You know, in other words, in God's mind, you were supposed to go beyond just increasing to multiplying. You could be, when we're talking about increase, it could even be galloping from 2 to 4 to 8 or whatever it is. But God expects, because if you say 2 plus 2, you get 4. If you say 2 plus 10, you get 12. But if you are going to do 2 times 10, do you understand what I'm saying? So when you begin to, God expects you to rise to the highest power, to the highest degree. And that is the default setting. Be fruitful, multiply. But you know, there was this latent instruction there that he didn't say, this is what is going to happen. But you know, when God speaks, he speaks in code. God speaks in codes. You will have to now break the code. If you decode it, then you are able to enjoy the benefits of it. You know, a popular illustration I usually give. Why didn't we learn to use electricity until a few hundred years ago? It was not God that kept us from using electricity. We always had hydro water, we always had wind, we always had the coal, we always had gas, we've always had the wind, we've always had the sun, so we could have, you know, solar and all that. We could have enjoyed electricity long before now. We didn't know how to break the code. Right now, they are telling us that there is enough atom in a slice of bread. There's enough atom that if you know how to split that atom, it can power an ocean liner across the sea. In the bread we just ate this morning. There's enough power in it that can power an ocean liner, a ship. But we don't know how to split it yet. Right now, they said in a clap of thunder, you know, just the thunder light, just the clap, that lightning, if we can harness that electricity, it can power New York, is it for a year or for 2 years? Just one lightning, if we can harness it. When it comes, when we see lightning, what do we do? And everybody's instead of looking for how to break the code, to Instead of looking for how to break the code, take the electricity and power our nation. In Jesus' name. No, that's so. You see, it may be 100 years down the road. Some people will say, we're going to break the code. Once they break the code, we say, why are we not using them, you know, lightning as electricity all these years? Why didn't you harness it? We didn't know how to break the code. So, I want you to see some code here. Let's go back to that chapter, verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. You know, I've said that before. Let's say, when God said, let there be light, it's not subject to prayers. He's commanding it to be. Then there's light. Then he said, let them multiply, fill the earth and subdue. Now, he said, fill the earth and subdue. You know, that's a subtle instruction idea. He said, subdue. What does that tell you if you want to subdue? To subdue is to overpower. It's to subjugate. It's to force to come under. It's to overcome. So if he says subdue, what does that mean? It means certain creation had also been empowered to take certain territories within the creation that God has given to you, and you have to exercise a higher authority to bring them under control. A lion was already created to feed on other animals. A lion had always been a carnivore from creation. Do you understand what I'm saying? The fish will never have come out. The fish will never have fly. The fish will not fly. You know, the whales and the hippos have been created to remain in their world. And therefore, if we are going to do anything within the sharks, whether the white shark or the blue shark or whatever it is, every one of these have been created to stay there. But we have found ways of bringing out the shark, bringing out the dolphin and ways, and then we begin to tame them, we begin to direct them, we begin to kill them in the environment that human beings can assess them, the snakes, python and cobra and all kinds of things. And we found out that if a snake bites you, then you just need what kind of snake, then you go to get the venom from that snake. They've made some medicine out of it to kill the poison in your system. In other words, all of these things were going to leave their natural habitat. Of course, it's debatable, and I do not believe that snake will have been able to poison us. I don't think they will normally still be afraid of us. I don't think they will devour us. I think they will run away. I think they will respect our authority if we kept ourselves under the authority of the one who created them. Because very often, again, we don't understand that. You see, when you are saying natural disaster, the flood, the storm, and all that, these are not the acts of God. It is nature rebelling against us because we rebel against the man who put us in charge. It's a simple rule. The rule is, I'm a man under authority. I say to this, go, and he goes, and come, he comes, and therefore speak your word. In other words, once you refuse to be under authority, your authority cannot be respected. If you are too big to follow, you are too small to lead. And so once we take ourselves off from the authority and the auspices of God's control, then creation recognizes that we don't have the redemptive right to rule over it. And they rebel against us. Do you understand? So certainly God has said here, you will need to subdue and have dominion. You have to exercise dominion, is to exercise control. In other words, God is not saying you're going to stay back and you lay back and things will fall on your laps. The world, this planet, was never structured for everything to fall on your laps. It was structured in a way that you got to go get what you need. You have to go get it. You know the garden. The garden is free by the miraculous love and grace of God. He gave it to us free. But he said, till and keep it. So the cultivation, the cleaning of that, is our responsibility. We were supposed to do it sweatless if we had not fallen. But if we are not falling, does not mean that we're not going to walk. We were going to walk. We were going to till the garden. We were going to clean it and maintain its beauty, cultivate it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, number one, you need to understand that your default setting is fruitfulness and multiplication. You can go into that and hold it all day. In anything, I do not mean in anything, whether it's in your business, in your academics, in your body, in your whatever it is has to do with you, your default setting is fruitfulness and multiplication. Now, there are four reasons why everything may be otherwise. Things may not work, or it may work contrary. Number one, maybe wrong settings. If you have changed your mind, or you have not renewed your mind, your fallen mind, and you just accept that whatever happens, maybe this is my lot. I will never be rich. I will never be successful. I cannot pastor more than 10 people. I will never do. If you have accepted that in your mind, it means you remove the setting from the original default. From the default setting, which is fruitfulness and multiplication, and you have reset it wrongly to assume that you were never made to prosper in ministry. Then you are intimidated by those who have crowd, you are intimidated by those who have so much, you are intimidated by those who have things and you can't assess them, you are intimidated by those who are succeeding, you are those who have increased, because you do not understand that that's your default setting. So wrong setting has to do with your mindset. You have to change your mind now, go back to the default setting that by the virtue of the one who created me, I have no business not being successful at what I'm doing, not being fruitful, and multiplying. Your tribe have to increase. If increment, if increase, if multiplication becomes a surprise to you, you have a wrong setting. If you pass on it and suddenly you find that you are moved from 10 to 15 to 20 to 30 to 40 and then you are synchronized and then you are shocked, even though you are praying, even though you are evangelizing, you are reaching out to people and you are shocked, then you change your default setting. If all of a sudden blessings is coming around and then you having your businesses and things are coming and money is coming and you are increasing and multiplying and you are shocked. You know why Jesus was always saying, the Bible says the disciples were amazed. And Jesus would say, what? How long will I bear with you? You of little faith, what is wrong with you? Why are you surprised? Don't you know who you are? Don't you know the power in you? God does not intend for us to be surprised at meteoric rise or increase or multiplication. Because that's what default setting. So if you are thinking otherwise, and you think you have to remain small, you think you have to remain whatever, then something is wrong with your setting. You need to go back to and renew your mind. Number two is that if you need an update, and you've not updated, then you might find yourself living on the contrary end of fruitfulness. What do I mean by an update? I don't know if you use iPad and computers or telephone. At a point, the manufacturers, the inventors had put in certain softwares that you have to constantly renew, possibly update or even upgrade to certain things. Maybe if you're using Android, there is Android 6.0, Android 4.0, 5.0. Now we have Android 7.0. Then you have Android Lollipop and all that Android. If you are using Microsoft Word and there is 2003, but we've gone to 2007, we've gone to 2010, we're having 2016. Sometimes the changes are very minimal and all that. Sometimes the changes are major. Now you find your files here, all of a sudden you are looking for it. Where is it? What did I touch wrongly? And all that. Because an update. And sometimes your computer will say, or your iPad will say, you will no longer be able to access this, or you can't use this function because your system has not been updated or upgraded. You need to upgrade, or you need to update certain software to keep yourself. See, to keep yourself on the cutting edge. Look at it this way. Look at it this way. If all you knew, someone told me, he said the corruption that is going to come to heal this nation when the new government was going to come up, he said it's going to be digital. He said they're going to do it and the president will not know. He said this will happen, this will happen. And this is a very top government official. He said they'll do this. He said, you know why? He said the man he's appointed as economic advisor was a bank manager in the days we were using passbook. He said, nobody, they will be talking to you, Mr. President, and they will use apps to transfer money from government, whatever, into their money, right in your presence. You say you will know. And it's not going to know. You say you cannot apply, you know, the rules then. I said, now, you need people on the cutting edge. People who are on the cutting edge. Many years ago, to pay my pastors, at least 18 years ago or 19 years ago, to pay my pastors who were pastoring at branch churches, they had to open accounts with the same bank. If it's Union Bank or First Bank, they all open account with the same bank, and it usually takes 1 month. Then later we got improvement, it would take 21 days. Then it was 14 days. Then it was 7 days. The same account, I mean the same bank. But now, I mean, I will have to, sometimes those of them who are far away, I usually gather 2 months or 3 months and pay because of the process of getting the thing there and all that. And but all of a sudden, in less than a whole minute, you can access your app and transfer billions of naira just with it, a little touch. Now, I don't even need to sign into my account. Once I click on the app will say, place your finger. Then I just put my sensor at the back. Once I put my finger at the back, it opens my account. And then the names I've already saved, I want to transfer 100 million to something. I just go there, type 100 million, go. And the next minute, it's calling you, say, I've received it. This is what took us 1 month. Not bank to bank. Bank to bank takes eternity to clear. I'm talking of the same bank. Now, if you go to pick a manager who knew when we used to withdraw 3 naira and then he will write it in 3 naira and then sign it at the back and then give somebody to that and then they open the ledger and record. If you put that in charge of economy system today, you're going to fail. Because the world is moving. So we need upgrade, we need update. And those things the man said are really happening. And then things are just happening because the world has changed. And therefore, when it comes to increase and fruitfulness, you also need to update and upgrade yourself. In other words, you begin to check yourself. This is who God has made me to be. What has brought me to where I am? And why are things not this way? Have I allowed some things to come in that I shouldn't be? And then what should I do to enhance where I am? Now we now know that long life is not just prayer and fasting. We now know that long life has to do with your diet. It has to do also with exercise. It has also do with certain knowledge, which you didn't have before. So you need to upgrade and update in order to enjoy those privileges. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how increment is. That's how increase is. That's how multiplication is. There are things you don't know. And for your information, what you don't know has hurt you already. What you don't know has hurt you already. If you don't know how it is, then somebody has been enjoying something you are not enjoying. So it's your job now to find out, what can I do differently? Someone was speaking with me yesterday. He said, well, I want to do this. I want to go to America. I want to go to that place and spend my retirement and just go and look for a job. And I said, how about the document? He said, oh, so what happened? He said, well, I went there. I did this. And I said, what do you want to do with yourself? I said, you went there and you spent 6 months and you came back. How much did you come with? He said, everybody cheated me and did this thing and I should have known my right, but because it's not legal, you're a visitor, you're not supposed to work with that. I said, why don't you go and file it for the right paper so you can collect, you can receive the kind of pay that is you are entitled to. Then, but I said, look around you. Right now we're harvesting yams, we're harvesting groundnut, we're harvesting beans. Come on now. Our peanuts are out, the corn is out, and the melon and other things are coming out. I said, all of these things are cheap as they can be now. Why don't you buy this, put them in the store, preserve them against March next year, and you just triple your money? He said, oh, is that so? Well, that's why you need an update. What used to be businesses those days might not be the business now. Now, most businesses are online. Look at Amazon. Look at Alibaba. Look at all of these stores, Apple stores, Amazon stores, and iTunes stores, and all that. It's not that you go somewhere, you say, this is iTunes store. It's all in the cloud. They're cloud businesses, they're online businesses. And this guy, Amazon, you just go online. It's not as if Amazon necessarily has the manufacture of those things. No! It is that this man is selling, but he's is using Amazon to reach out. So this man orders for it. This man is in California, and this man is in Nigeria. Then you go to this place online, a place request, say, how long soon do you need it? He said, I need it in 1 week. He said, okay, hey, it's 1 week. I hope you're going to deliver that week. We have to be here for 7 days. Oh, yes, I'll deliver to you in 2 days. And then, okay, we will send it by DHL to make sure that day he gets it. So they're just middlemen, and then they get their commission from here, they get their commission from here. That's all. That business was not in existence a few years ago. Look at Facebook. Now, if I want to advertise and reach more people, I ask Facebook to do that. They collect maybe $3 from me. When you take $3 from a million people, you know how much you have made. So you see how this is. So that businesses have become virtual. It's now in the clouds. It's now a virtual world. Therefore, to increase, you need to upgrade. You need to update yourself. Strong people don't say they need to update very often. Some of them don't have email account. They don't have email account. They don't have Facebook account. They say, I don't do Facebook. I don't do... Congratulations. You'll be winking in the dark. You know what you are doing, nobody else will do. Because the world is out there. You see Instagram, Twitter, the president of America today is literally governing through Twitter. He's a Twitter president. Because he sends out 140 characters, it's been increased now to 2-something. You send out 140 characters and the whole world is catching cold. Just on his phone. Governance by Twitter. So you can't sit where you are and not understand that your world has changed. Even though your default setting is truthfulness, you need an update. Is that okay? So if you need an update, you better do that so that you can come up to fruitfulness. There are better ways of doing ministry now. Do you know, I found churches doing ministry and they don't have database of newcomers coming to their church. People can't come to your church. You don't have their phone numbers. You don't have their email. You don't have their Instagram or Facebook account. Design forms that you give to them. Design a gift you're going to give to them when they come. And in that gift, in that pack, there is a form they can fill, which has to do with you know all of their details, their Twitter, their Instagram. So if you call them and they change line, you will get them through email. If you don't get email, you get them through Facebook somehow. So how can you not, why will your church not have a website? Why will your church not have a Facebook account? Well, that's the easiest way to reach the people these days. Why will your church not have a Twitter or Instagram where you can connect with people? And then why will people come to your house and you don't have a database on a computer? A database where the newcomers are coming, you are recording their names, their number, and a database where you keep all their details. And your membership, you know what is going on, and your secretary or you, or whoever it is, you are updating the data. You are updating the data and say, so-and-so lost the father, so-and-so lost the mother, so-and-so had a new baby, so-and-so got married. And then you can say that so that if you just read each of their history, open each of their files, you can literally see the development in their lives. And then you can call, how about your sister that delivered? You say, Pastor, did you know my sister? Okay, you told me that time, and we have a record of it. It's there on your system. Your Gicho did this more than 20 years ago, during the days of church growth. Almost 30 years ago, your Gicho was having, that time computer wasn't this way, he was having files on every member. And every progress, everything that was happening in their lives, there were records of it. So when people come up to him, they come up to them and you just say, hi, about so and so. How can a pastor know me among 100,000 people? He has a record. He has a record. So you need to upgrade yourself. Change the way you do ministry. Why will somebody attend your service and for 7 days, they have not received an email from you? You can do that. They've not received a call. They've not received a text message. They've not received an email. How do you want to grow them today? If a person comes to your church today, after service, latest by Monday evening, there's an email in his box. Or somebody must have called. Oh, we are thankful on behalf of the pastor and the church. We want to thank you for being in service today. Who is this person? Say, I'm Brasso and so I'm one of the leaders in the church. We thank you for coming. I want to say, The pastor will have sent a message. You generate message and send to them. You send an email. We are pleased to have you today. You made our day. You were the one that made a difference in there. And say things to them and talk to them. You've taught them already. So that within 1 week, they've either seen, heard you through Facebook Messenger, or they've seen you, they've received your email or text messages or and calls. Multiple means of reaching them. So that in 1 week, if they were planning to change their mind, they say, this church, do care. Because people don't know, people don't care how much you know, like your master used to say, until they know how much you care. You need to care. You need to show that you care. So you have to upgrade the way you do services. If you're complaining, our church is not growing. The last time someone visited you, what did you do? How did you touch them? And I find this to be a problem, not only here, outside this place, outside this country. And then people are saying, hey, say, Pastor, we just go to church, they just take our offering. Nobody asked me. I was sick for 1 month. Nobody asked after me. I had this problem. My child had surgery. Nobody asked after me. And then when you get there, say, oh, Pastor, these people, bring them back to church again. And then you go, and the people follow you to church. They say, oh, it's a long time we saw you. Why do you only celebrate people when you see them? When they're not there, do you know what kept them away? So we need an update in the way we operate. It's not necessarily that we're not fruitful. Some of us are still. We are living in the yesterday. And if you are living in your yesterday today, you're not going to be relevant. Number three is corrupted files. Now, sometimes, a lot of times, we have corrupted thoughts or thinking pattern, whereby we assume that, you know, some of us were made for smallness. Some of us were made to go through life not really doing okay, or just getting by. Or is my lot not to be successful, not to increase, not to have money? Some time ago you used to believe, but now you have now believed the opposite side. You need to clean that up. And the third one is infection, virus infection. Might affect your default setting. In other words, the devil could have attacked you in various ways. And let me tell you this. What the Bible says, hope defies, make the heart sick. A lot of times where you have had a lot of misfortunes over a period of time, it has a way of forcing you to a wrong belief system that you can even start fighting against the right thing that you are meant to accomplish. Look at the disciples, the early church. They were praying. They had seen Stephen killed. And they have seen James beheaded. And now, Peter was now arrested and waiting after Easter to use his head to celebrate Easter. And then the people began to pray, oh Lord, oh Lord. You could tell that these guys were not praying with faith. They were really praying out of fear. Because as soon as somebody says, someone is knocking, they say, shh, maybe it's the elders that are come. They are coming for us. And finally they say, that's Peter. That is Peter. They say, you are mad. Now, what were you praying for? You are praying for a man to be released. They told you the man is released. You said the person who told you is mad. Who is mad? Is it not you that is asking for something, and when that thing is delivered to you, you reject it? So it's one of the problems that the devil can sow, you know, by threatening you, buffeting you, hit you here, hit you here, hit you here. You get to a point, you are cowed. You literally, you are walking, your head bowed. You are looking like a victim. It now affects the way you talk. It affects the way you see yourself. It affects the world. And then I knew a pastor who went through this. We were friends. And when we started our ministry, I made sure every program we were holding, he would preach in one of the days. I mean, I just love this man. When you spend time to pray with him. And when he picks a verse of scripture to preach, my, have you ever met a preacher like that? And so anywhere I'm sent to go to preach, and I'm invited to preach and I'm unable to go, I send him there. He brings the honorarium to me and he says, no, sir. He's an older man. I say, no, sir. It's all yours. I just want to give you a platform. Even when our own ministry was just 2 years or 3 years, I was sending him to take my invitations to help him. And then he would come in and then we began to grow exponentially, you know. We're just, and I didn't see myself as not succeeding. When I resigned from the ministry where I used to be, they preached against me for 8 months. To the point that 25 years after leaving that ministry, now it's already 28 years. If you go there now and you mention my name, those who were not born that time, they heard my story. They say, we heard that there was a man like that. I know somebody, they say, did you hear about so and so evangelist? Did you hear? He said, yes, I heard the story. He said, this is the man. He said, no, the one they said, this is the man. So they still know my story. So I never saw myself as not succeeding. And it began to happen. Guess what? When things started breaking out and the increase was, my friend started withdrawing from me. He became intimidated. And I told him, why are you not coming around? We have prayer. Why are you not coming? The church is growing. Let's walk here. As I join you to preach, I preach for him. I've never taken a bottle of water. I just want to bless his ministry. I talk to people, go to my friend's church. If people say we're coming, I say, I have a church around there. It's pastored by my friend. Go there. And just to help him, this guy started staying away from me. And even when we had to change location, and when we came over here, I invited him. I told him, we have somewhere here. You stay here. I did everything. He just could not see himself where I am. The last time I asked of him, his church is himself and his family, and he wants to relocate to his home state, Edo State. And that's someone who was close to somebody who was getting results. In fact, around where he was, that his church was not growing, I broke off from people from our own headquarters church, and I started a new branch there with 35 people, 35 membership. The same area where he was, and he wasn't succeeding. If he stayed close to me, I would give the 35 people to him. Now, these are not my members. They are members of the body of Christ. So I don't feel headache. I would just say, look, take your few members, join this, become the pastor of this. I'm that liberal. But he was not able to stand it. So his understanding of fruitfulness and everything became corrupted by all the sufferings he has gone through. Receive your deliverance from such a mindset.
Amen.
You know the purpose of one purpose for confession is not just the word of Satan, is to remind yourself who you truly are. There's sometimes I'm looking at myself and I say, nothing seems to be working now, but you are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I say, look at yourself. Don't be afraid. Look. I say, tell yourself now. I say, you this guy that I'm looking at, you're going to talk life. You are a multi-billionaire. Doors will open, nations will bow before you. I say, take it. I keep saying that to myself. And I keep going and I'm the head and I'm not the tail. God has blessed me on every side. He said he will bless my bread, my water, and my storehouse. I'm supposed to have storehouses where I don't need anything there. I just want to bless people with it. And I keep confessing. And I say to myself, so that I can bring my mind back to my default setting. Let me quickly go on. As you get in between the prophets and see the announcement about the ministry of Christ in Isaiah chapter 9. How many minutes do I have more? Because I see God's home. Isaiah chapter 9 from verses 6 to 7. For unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace. So the government is not to be static. It's supposed to be on the rise. On the increase. Of the increase of his government and peace. He says, what? There shall be no end to order it. And establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts we perform this. Now, I want you to see something again here. I want you to see some three principles. You know, I like looking out for principles, because if you know how things work, you can work them. So, look at that. It talks about the principle of increase, of the increase, of his increase and government, no end. In other words, God does not want to rule over only one person. He wants to rule over nations of the earth, because they are all his creation. And therefore, the government has to increase. Why would the government of God increase and your influence in ministry does not increase? Life can be very miserable when you leave it all to yourself. Life can be very miserable. If you live the life all to yourself, it doesn't pay. You can't go far. Something happened in the last 1 month. We have had over 20 visitors in our home. Somebody says, because you have the money, you feel like spending. No. This cult is coming in from Lagos. These are people who not only hold you in high esteem, have been a blessing to you. Okay, as he's going, two other ones are coming. And they come into the house, they took care of everything you need to be taken and set the house, you know, clean, do everything. Say, is there anything you want us to do? We just came to say thank you. And those are going, another is coming in. And this is coming in, another one. So, one was coming in, sometimes they overlap. So one was going in, coming in from Ife. And before that one left, one came in from Jos. Before that one left, one came in from Zaria. Before that one left, another one came in from... And then they came. And when I looked at them, yeah, it does cause something. But every one of them said, Pastor, but for your counsel, I won't be where I am. This one says, I thank you so much. You know, the one that left this morning, I had two suits that I have never worn, and I didn't know. Until I went to my... I didn't know that. I've never even worn them once. I tested them. They were maybe whatever it is. I just tested them. I said, this is good. It will fit this young man. I said, young man, test them. He said, exactly. Everything perfect to my size. I said, it was made for you from the foundation of the world. I said, because you know what? If I bought one of them, which is designer suit, and it's long this way, mink color, and the top was well designed with the... Just there. I bought it in Italy 5 years ago. He was the first person to wear it that he feels him. I never worn it other than the day I tested it. And then, so when I'm getting text messages, this one called me from Nigeria, that one coming from Jos, that one coming from Ibadan, that one coming from Ife, that one coming from Ife, this one came. And everybody is sending text messages, and I'm saying, what did you do for? Who do I know? Oh, okay, what is he thanking me for? And all that. And I just remember this morning, I was looking at it, of the increase of his government. There shall be no end. Your influence should be. Yesterday, I spent half of the day, working day, receiving international calls, and this one calling, that one calling, that one calling. Sometimes the calls were overlapping and, you know, breaking each other. And at the end of the day, before I hold some other meetings, I was tired. And I said, I've been on the line. And I said, how did it all start? It started by a relationship that I kindled with somebody, I think 4 years ago in West Virginia. And now is ever since then left out of that, and is spreading all over the other places. All because of one person that I related with and I was a blessing to. And then he started connecting me with all other people. See, the increase of God's government in your life and your ministry ought to be worldwide. And you can't insist that unless they are members of your church, you won't do that. Because once you do that, you limit the increase and the multiplication of the government. Because when we finally appear before him, or when he appears before us, whichever it is, he won't know the name of your ministry. He won't know what denomination you belong to. He will know if you have been redeemed or not. And that's all. And all of those people, when he was speaking, the other time I said, I will say to you, once you have helped these little ones, you have also helped me. Do you know some of the characteristics of the people he spoke about are not okay? He said, I was in prison and you didn't visit me. There are preachers who are in prison, now, sir. They're in prison for wrongdoing, but it's in the prison they will come to know the Lord, and then they will become some of the great men of God in the world. I can mention to you different, in different parts of the world today, or in America, preachers who have been to prison, and the prison was what changed their lives. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So you need to begin to understand that the increase of God's government does not lie with you. It says, I was naked and you clothed me. Do you know that most of your members, they probably are not as naked as he's talking about, because they had clothes to wear to church maybe. So when he's talking of being naked and you clothed me, it looks like some people that are homeless out there. There's a guy that I saw on the net a few years ago. He just said, help the homeless guy. And then somebody was driving past and he stopped and said, you need to work for your dollar. I want to give you a dollar. You need to work for it. Say something to me. So he was now recording him. He said, what's your name? He said, I'm going to so-and-so station. Then the guy just said, he said, this is Williams. Nobody knew he had been trained and had a broadcast voice. But things worked, you know, awry with him, went bad with him, and then he's homeless. He said, this is Williams announcing that my man, Kenny Carr, is going to be in 94.9. And you guys, they were saying, what? He gave me money and said, say this thing. And then he recorded it, put on the net. It went viral. Four stations called him. So it was like Joseph appearing before Pharaoh. They had to take him and shave his beard, remove all the locks on his head, and then clean him up. The man was looking, and all of a sudden, he's appearing on Dr. Phil. He's on television all over, and then the man would talk, and when he talk, you've never seen such a broadcast voice. They call him the man, the homeless man with the golden voice. Before you know, they were giving him a contract. He has a house. He has been separated from his family. Now the family, they're all together. And they, you know, the children are together. It's all over the place. It's all over. No, all over. Go and search on your, go and Google it or check him on YouTube. The man, the homeless man with golden voice. You see this guy? He's a different man. Now he's into money. And now the homeless shelter that was helping him, he goes in there now to supply their needs too. So when he says that, I will say you saw me naked, you didn't. He's not talking of your members. He's taking for granted those ones that are already of the household of faith. He said, do good to all men, especially. So he's taking for granted you take care of your own. But these ones that are out there, the increase of his government must touch people on the street. Get the church out of the four walls and put them out there. Go to hospital, pray for the sick. Go distribute some milk for them. Distribute something. Give them sachet of Milo. Give them things. Just bless them. Just do. You say, but they won't come to our church. Who cares? Who cares? The man who gave me the first opportunity to speak to about 500 people together, we've not seen each other for so many years today. I still remember him. I took all my books, I signed them, I wrote appreciation letter and all that, and I packed them. I said, give it to him, tell him that he gave me the first platform in my life. The man who introduced me to him eventually has problem in ministry and his marriage and all that. Every time I have a little money, if it is 5,000, if one time he couldn't pay for his children's school fee, I called him. He said he's people. I said, what is the problem? He said, I couldn't pay for my children's school. I didn't have the money with me. I called people. I said, I have a pastor. My pastor is having this problem. And they sent me the money. I sent to him. Took away the blood pressure from him. You don't know who you're helping. The person you're helping now might be your lifeline tomorrow of the increase of his government. A lot of us have increased on the inside of us, but it's limited. Let me ask you, pastors. Those of you who have local assembly, have you noticed that when you go out, you get more results than where you are? Have you known when you go to preach, you see more miracles, you see, you know, more responses and all that, other than your own local assembly? Why? Because the government is supposed to increase beyond a four wall. So there's the principle of continuous increase. Continual increase. You have to continuously increase. Number two is the principle of zeal. He said the zeal of the Lord will perform this. You can't remove zeal for anything and hope to get a result. Zeal is passion. Zeal is the will to lay everything on the line to get the result you want. You can't be as cool as cucumber and just expect things to fall on the line. You need to put some zeal into your life. You need to increase your zeal for the Lord and become passionate. Amen. There need to be some zeal in your life. Then, number three is the eternity of God and His purpose. He said, the zeal of the Lord will perform this from this time forward and forever. So you see that in God's mind, it goes beyond what you temporarily are now. The zeal of the Lord is to perform forever. Don't forget, eternity is not just eternity future. Eternity is the life that never really ends. So it began from the past. Before we came here, eternity has been. And if eternity has been, then God had something, ultimate purpose at the back of His mind. And I want to say something that might help you. One thing you need to realize is that God is not asking you to live a life afresh now. A life that is strange to you. Literally, God is asking you to live the life you have already lived in the Spirit. When Jesus was praying in John chapter 17, what did He say? Father, glorify me with what? With what? The glory that I had with you when? Before the world began. In other words, you have an existing glory. That's called pre-Adamite world. That's the sense in which I believe pre-Adamite world. A realm of the Spirit where everything was perfect. Everything is complete. And in that realm of the Spirit, He brought you in here to now dramatize who you are in the realm of the Spirit. Now let me ask you, in the glory before this time, is there unfruitfulness? The glory before the world began, is there lack? Was there emptiness, dryness, barrenness? Tell me the glory before. Those doesn't exist. It's a foundation that God has laid for you that in eternity, you are already fruitful. So make up your mind and go back to the original mindset. Now, I want to go to the last part, which is in Jesus' definition of increase and understanding. He gave one of the criteria for being a disciple, and it has to do with fruitfulness. John chapter 15. My friend has done an incredible work on John chapter 15 about the difference between the vine and the branch. His definition of increase and fruitfulness. It's all loaded in disciples. His definition of disciples includes fruitfulness. John chapter 15, verses 5-8. I won't read beyond that so that we can move on. John 15, 5-8. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. I want you to see this so that you can have proper understanding. I'm the vine, you are the branches. And if you abide, in other words, if the branch continues to remain in the vine, he will bring much fruit. What does that mean? If the branch decides to separate from the vine, what happens? Okay, let's go on. I and him, whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And if you are the branch, you are smart enough to know that without abiding in the vine, you can do nothing. You can't even live, not to talk of bearing fruit. Okay? If anyone does not abide in me, of course, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned. Of course, you don't have dry sticks. You don't have firewood unless it is separated from the stalk. Unless it's separated from the main thing. You don't have that. Okay? And then it says, he's born, and they are born. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified. That what? you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So you see, fruit bearing itself is an evidence of discipleship. It's one of the pillars of discipleship. Fruitfulness. Jesus says, so you cannot be referred as, you can be referred to as my disciple if. And the reason why you have to be referred to as his disciple is because you are a branch. And if you are the branch, then fruitfulness is natural. Because the vine is not fruitless, it's not barren. So you cannot be barren. Look at the narrative here. Number one, you are the branches. It is the responsibility of branches to bear fruit, not that of the vine. It is not the vine that bears it is the branches. You must therefore use this to determine whether you are on the right assignment and doing the right thing or the right things or not. Now, if you are not bearing fruit, I need to then ask myself, am I properly connected? Am I doing the right thing? Because a lot of, you know, this for years of my ministry, this has been one of my yardsticks of measuring something. If I thought God had told me to do something, and that thing is not fruitful, I question whether I heard God properly. And I go back to God, Lord, did I hear you? If he says, I've heard you, then I move to the next gear, I stick to it, apply some other strategies to make sure that I'm focused until I get the result. But if I've done something 1, 2, 3 years and the program is not fruitful, why don't you let it go? I asked one of our pastors, I told him, I said, look, vigils, I said, the vigils that people do, and they do in a vigil, they come in, there's special number, there's praise worship, there's special number, there's special prayer, then there are testimonies, then there are choreographers coming to dance. And you call, you say you came for prayer vigil. I said, you are wasting your time and God's people's time. I said, Pastor, why don't you do, he calls it half night. The people come in by 7 and they do praise worship and they pray till 10. And everybody goes. You know what? When he does that, every member of his church is in that program. But the day they call for vigil, only himself and his elders are there. I mean, some of the elders say, Pastor, we don't want you to be alone. That's how we came. You say, amen. This work is going to make progress, so Pastor. So I say, why are you gathering people? The elders want to cover your shame. Get them when they can pray. Is it not about praying? Get them when they can pray. If it is 5 to 7, if it is 7 to 9, must it be in the midnight? Jesus prayed all night. You can do that on your own. When I say that, they say the man doesn't pray. Do you know that? I think I shared with him. He can tell you this. I was having vigil for 1 month in my bedroom. Every night I had vigil for 1 month. There was a time that I had it for 2 months. That every night, I begin maybe by 12, if I had not had it, and then till 5 o'clock, every night, and I will have a vigil. I want to even sleep, the sleep won't come. The Lord just wanted me to spend that time with him. And I did. But there are no laws. Well, do you have the last vigil? I can't remember. But I know I pray. Do what is fruitful. If this thing is a branch of him, and it's not producing fruit, we cut it down. Let's look for something that works. Do you understand what I'm saying? One way to test whether God has told you is if that thing is working. If God sent you to Abuja, if God sent you to wherever you are, if God gave you the assignment you are doing and it's not producing, ask yourself, is this thing I should remain here or I should leave? Or I need to update and upgrade. You just clear something. It's not, you know, he said something at the beginning. He said, it is not God's problem. It's we who need to find out what we need to do right. Sometimes we are not connected to the divine. Being connected to the divine does not mean you are backsliding as a sinner. It could mean that he is somewhere you are not. If God has relocated from this place to somewhere and you remain here, you will never be fruitful here. If what you're doing now remains the things you used to do when he told you to do something different, you won't get the result. You won't increase. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's see the second narrative. Fruitfulness is contingent on abiding in Him. This goes beyond just being a child of God. It means being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Your provision, your success, your strategies, and even the promised increase are located in a place called there. Elijah has called for famine. And when you say there will be no rain or dew, as a prophet of God, just know you heard the Lord ask you to make it. Because once it happens, you also need water to survive. And the Lord said to him, go to the brook Kerith. I've commanded a raven to feed you there. So he was drinking from the brook. And only God knew that the water was still there because the people didn't know. He was drinking from the brook and the raven was giving him food. That's also another principle. God uses natural means and supernatural means to meet our needs. There are times that He may want you to keep your pastoral job, but at the same time do a little business to augment what is coming up. But you say, no. If I ever talk business, I will die. I will die and go to hell. Well, safe journey. I find people who told me that God said I should never do anything. God said I should not talk this. God said I shouldn't do that. Okay, he said don't go to farm. Don't do business. Don't get a job. Don't take up employment. Don't do this. I said, what does he ask you to do? He said nothing. I said, okay. It will be criminal to give you money. I said, the money I'm giving you now is one business deal I made. And I happen to have been a full-time ministry for so many years. The one he doesn't want to talk, I don't talk. But when he gives me opportunity, I found out that he used the brook, Nicola method, and the raven. So if he gives a raven, and then he gives me some other natural method, or supernatural and all that, I'm going to take it. Why don't you take the natural one that is, and then they turn the whole thing down. And you want me to continue to support you. I can't support laziness. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. There are times that God uses natural and supernatural. He did that for Elijah. And abiding in Him is not just remaining a child. Say, Lord, I know you know I abide in you. You know you are my Lord. You are my rock. You are my eternal. You are my hiding place. After that, what? Because if He's everything you say He is, and He told you to relocate from here to go to Lagos, and you are having disputation in your heart concerning what will people say? What will this? What if you have any other primordial consideration outside of doing what He has said? You can't expect to be fruitful. Once Elijah ate that, one day he woke up, the brook dried. Lord, okay, the raven, I command you to come. And it's evening, the raven comes. Lord, what are you saying? He says, stand up now, before it's too late. Go to Zarephath. A woman has just left her house. He's coming in. I've timed it. If you move as I instruct you, at the time you'll be arriving there, you will meet her gathering sticks. And then together you can then go to her house. If you miss this timing, it will take you time before you locate that woman. So go now. As soon as you go in, you remember when God speaks to Elijah, He doesn't know how to waste time. He said, go to the mount, I will talk to you. He was there. He left the servant in Beersheba. As soon as in chapter 19, you will see that. Of 2 Kings. As soon as he was coming, God said, go down, go and anoint Elisha. He went and anointed Elisha. You know, he said, the Lord has sent me to Jordan. I'm going. So he doesn't know how to waste time. And in fact, when he said, go and tell Ahab, the rain is coming, he outran the horses and chariot of this guy. So this guy knows how to be prompt. He may complain, no? He may do other, but he is very prompt. And then he went, and they saw the woman is standing there. Because these things are tied to timing. It may be only 2 years for you to do this assignment. If you exceed to 3 years, the success of 2 years will start reducing. Will start winning. Do you understand what I'm saying? So abide in Him. Be sure that where you are is where He wants you to be. And what you are doing is what He wants you to do. Once there is dissatisfaction, what I call holy dissatisfaction with what you are doing, and you no longer enjoy it, it's time to move on. So become sensitive and find out where does He want you to move to, because it means your location has, your resources has just relocated. Okay? Number 3, lack of fruitfulness has consequences. God will pick and use the one who is ready to bear fruit, and men will react to your inability to produce results. man will also restrict the quality and the quantity of the responsibility placed on your hands. You know, God deals with you by grace. Earthly leadership deals with you by performance. If you don't perform, you say, you know, can't you deal with me by grace? Grace has to do with your spiritual experience. But the money we are making in our business is not by the grace of God, it's by what we do. It's by empowerment. God empowers you to make the money. He doesn't know, because God does not have any currency in heaven. So he doesn't counterfeit any currency. He gives you the wisdom, the power to get wealth. And if in giving power to get wealth, you are with me and I'm spending money on you, what do you think banks are downsizing? Have you noticed that some of the banks now, if you go there are fewer people than before? What do you think they are downsizing? Companies, why do they downsize? When they discover their turnover, they discover what they're spending on staffers is over and beyond what their, you know, the net profit allows. Then they have to take off because they want to maximize their profit. So they make one person do the job of three people and increase the technology. You know, when you travel around some airports now, the people that are at the counter, in fact, there are some airports that I found that I just want one or two persons. Just one. Just to attend to the customers and other things. Because all the place there are all electronic, you know, self-servicing. If you go to say, excuse me, I need my ticket, they said, you check in online, you go there, do you have luggage? How many this thing? He said, do you have this? Okay, now print. Bam. And then you take your something, and then you take and you walk away without talking to anybody. So robot, and they are projecting that by the year 2020 something, that 70% of the jobs we are doing now will be taken over by robots electronically. So is it not time we start thinking of what to do with ourselves now? Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know how many of you were ardent magazine and newspaper readers like I used to be. You get to my house, you will see newspaper like this. It used to be like that. A magazine. You know, in the days of Newswatch, I had so many. Then later, Tell. Then Newsweek. And you know, and every month, every weekend, I will buy two magazines. I mean, I had them. Do you know that on your phone, you even have some setting that gives you breaking news? So before the paper put it to the size of closing, and printing out the something, you've read the news. By the time it's coming out tomorrow, it's already stale news. I mean, they just send you alert and they tell you this one, so and so, I just tweeted this. And if you are connected to certain people, you want to know the decision you are connected to US government, or UK government, or this. Whenever there's breaking news, your phone will be alerting you and say the government are just breaking news. They just bombard you with all this. So, in other words, you need to now look for creative ways by which you can do something with your life. Amen. You need to tell yourself you can be responsible. You can increase. Please, don't stay back and blame anybody who makes decision that affects you. It's to challenge you, to bring the best in you. You know, we are made like bags of tea. It is when the water is hottest that the benefits, the profits of every tea bag is known. Sometimes things get rough on us. That's when our best is known. Amen? Amen? Number four, asking precedes fruitfulness. Now, he says, whatever you ask the Father in my name. You know, asking precedes fruitfulness. You need to ask the right questions. When, where, how, with whom, and so on. Wrong question elicits wrong answer. Wrong prayers receives no answer. Look, you need to ask the right question. No, somebody met me and we were talking and I said, what are you doing now? He said this. I said, when did God tell you to do this? About 7 years ago. I said, is he still asking you to remain where you are? And he said, no. I can't even determine that. I don't know whether he... Then I said, why are you complaining? Why are you complaining? You don't know. When you have not asked him if you need to remain where you are. Is the time up? Do I need to relocate? Do I need to change this strategy? See, some person started Sunday school very early. I can't remember the year now. But the purpose of Sunday school was to train people, children who will have to go with some of their parents, you know, to, what do you call it, mining, do some job. And the only way you can get them to attend class is early morning. They call it Sunday school. And then they started to keep them and to educate them. And then from there, they can engage them and keep them off the street and all that. Now, if Sunday school is not okay for me, and I keep running Sunday school, how do I get a result of a Sunday school? What if it is better I start school of ministry, and that will take the place of Sunday school? Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people will not come to Sunday school. If you call it school of ministry, and it comes on Wednesday night, they will come. Are you with me? Fruitfulness is one of the pillars of discipleship. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done to you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you be my disciples. Most people claim they can't increase and multiply because of their stand for the truth. Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and he taught the truth, and yet he increased and multiplied in everything he did. So don't make the excuse that because you are teaching the truth, that's why people don't come around you. In fact, it should attract them. Because wherever the carcass is, there the eagles shall be gathered. God is glorified by faithfulness. It's not glorified by otherwise. For a moment, think of how God feels after making you in his image and likeness and blessing. I blessed you to be fruitful and multiply, and you refuse to. Fruitfulness, the last thing I say, fruitfulness and increase has to do with attitude and capacity. You cannot increase beyond your capacity and capability. You have the responsibility to use what you have to get what you need. It is not the quantity of the talent you have that affects you, but what you do with what you have. It's not what you don't have, it's what you fail to use. Do you know that the Lord of that master did not blame that master? I mean, the Lord of that servant, their master, did not blame them, the man with single talent, for having one talent. He says, why didn't you use what you have? And everybody can increase. Your increase may not be the same as mine, because my capacity might be more than yours. It's yours. It's you that can enlarge your capacity, because he says, if you are faithful over little, you'll be giving much. So you can increase your capacity. Ability increases with use. Do you understand? Of the 24 parables in the gospel, about 10 of them strongly talks about increase. Or the kingdom parables talked about increase. For instance, the parable of the sower. He went to sow. Why? He wanted the mustard seed. What did he say? He's the smallest among the herbs. But when it's planted, what happens? It increases. What about the goodly pear? The man was looking for something that would bring more money. So he sold all that he has and bought the goodly pear. How about the treasure field? The treasure land, the treasure field, he says, the man sold everything he had to buy that field so that he can mine the treasure. Then what about the vine dresser? He said, bring fruit. He said, I'm going to cut it down because it didn't produce. And the vine dresser said, what? Let's dig about it. Let's add some manure and give it some time to produce. It's all about increase. What about the parable of the dragnet? Is to send an empty net and fill it with fish. What about the lost coin? Is what is missing has to be added back. What about the lost sheep? You have 99. It's supposed to be 100. Because 99 produces but minus 1. I mean, 100 minus 1 is 99. You are reducing. And so go and add that back so they can produce the way they should. What about the parable of the yeast, the leaven? You add the little leaven you have into your dough and it increases. What about the parable of the growing seed? The earth brings of itself. You plant the seed, then you say the blade, the hair, and the full hair of the corn. In other words, it is your duty to increase. All the parables of the kingdom talks about increase. Amen. I'm going to stop now. I have 5 things I will have said, but maybe some other time on increase. And please, I may not be able to give you everything, but just remember that you can do something with your life. You can increase. And the first thing to do to increase, remove excuses from your life. You cannot change what you don't acknowledge. Whatever you permit cannot be altered. So don't have excuse why you are not increasing. Whatever your excuse, remember that whatever excuses you have, somebody has worse experience. The universe was not structured to work by miracles. So don't have any excuse why you are not making increase. Don't excuse it. Be tenacious. Nothing was created to stop the eternal purpose of God in your life. Because time was created out of eternity. Therefore, if God eternally has made you fruitful and to multiply eternally, you can't come to this day and time is trying to set you back. Get on your knees and command time to reverse if it needs to reverse, so that you can be what God wants you to be. Number two is that enlarge your coast. You need to enlarge your coast. Let down your nets. Jesus told the disciples, let down your nets. What did he say? They let down their nets. There's a difference between nets and net. If God wants you to use four nets and you're using only three, you're not likely to get the result you want. Take some classes on personal growth. Enlarge your capacity. Let me tell you this. If you enlarge your capacity to do more, then you will have the result. Enlarge your capacity to do more with what you have. It is not about what you don't have. It's about what you fail to use that you already have. Give a man, I have a saying, I say, give a man with 1,000 capacity, 10, and he will get his 1,000. And give a man with 10, a capacity for 10, 1,000, and he will turn it down to his level. You can't, if you are 10, if I give you 1,000 membership, you will pastor them down to 11 or to 10. But if you are a man of 1,000, they give you one, you will increase it to your capacity. So growth has to do with increasing your capacity. A man who has no capacity to manage 50,000 cannot manage 5 million. You know that. I mean, he will be going, he will buy suya. He will go to that place, say, let's buy corn. I saw somebody who won $1.something million and he was homeless. And then the son say, daddy, we're going to enjoy that. They will go to 5-star hotel to go and eat. Then they go and hire expertise to teach the father ethics. How to eat, how to use fork and knife, and use... And before you know, the guy was back on the street. Enlarge your capacity. Humbly understudy people who have experienced where you are. Where you are attempting to go. Take the limit of God and put it on yourself and say, I'm the one limiting myself. Your wildest and your widest imaginations are the safest place you can meet with God to be able to think and resonate at God's frequency. Enlarge your capacity. Number three is go all the way. Go all out as if your life depends on it. Try all the strategies given to you by God and be persistent. Develop what I call, your stamina for stick-to-itiveness. Don't look at the dictionary, it's not there. It's a combination of four words. Stick to itiveness. You stick to it. I said, God told me, he sent me here. I'm not letting go. I will get the result. No, I used to have a saying many years ago. They said, where I was laboring in the Mina is a hard ground. I told them, I said, if God brought water out of the rock, he will bring honey out of my own rock. And wherever the gospel can take people on the face of the earth, I say the gospel will take me there. I just refuse to compromise. I refuse to accept that where I was not a fruitful ground. It's not true. Somebody is succeeding there. If you say where you are now, it's not succeeding. Do you know there are churches? If you as a pastor, there are churches that are having 100, 200 membership. You can't say yours is peculiar. No. I mean, we're in this city, there are churches having 5 services, there are 4 services that are filled with people and all that. So you can't make excuses. Stick to it. And some of us, we get discouraged so quickly, you felt you didn't see something, you walk out. I think I was talking to my pastor some days ago, he said, I think I was discouraged. I said, you have luxury to be discouraged. I don't have that luxury. What I want is what I want. Heaven has received, Lizzie, if it is here on earth, I will receive it. Number four, remember the finished work. You are successful before you arrive here. Make your life count with diligence. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Ecclesiastes 10:10. It's profitable. In fact, New King James said, but wisdom brings success. Therefore, you need to know that you are coming from a finished world. And begin to envision yourself. Envision yourself succeeding. See yourself talking to a larger crowd. See yourself walking a million. See your money coming. See your children surrounding you. See where you go. See your influence around the world. Just begin to imagine that, because whatever you can't see in the eye of your spirit, you cannot get to manifest in the real world. You need to... somebody... The day they commissioned the Disney World, you know, the man had already died. And then someone said, who was speaking that day, said, "I wish Walt Disney was here to see his vision." The wife said, "He saw it. He lived it." He said, "We built everything according to what he told us. He told us where Mickey Mouse would stay. He told us where this would stay. He told us where this would stay. He marked everything out." He said he saw it. When he was describing them, we didn't see it. We didn't see them. But he saw it. And a good wisdom man, one philosopher said something. He said, "Don't live for your dream. Live from your dream. Live from your dream. See yourself in it. Believe it has happened. Begin to walk it. Talk like it. Act like it." Amen. You know, recently I saw the video of a picture of a young man who walks in a... You know what he does? He pushes trolley, wheelbarrow, in Wuse Market. And this lady said, every time he comes, that's the guy who pushes. He said, "When you get there, ask of this guy, this is his telephone number, patronize him." You know why? He dresses like the way Dominic has dressed now. The brother in a red dress. The guy dresses like that with his cap and his shoes. And then he dresses and he's pushing his wheelbarrow. It's so neat. Because of that, people who don't like dirty to come, they say, "Come." Because you like somebody wear dress, follow you. And then he would this. He said, "But why do you dress like this?" He said, Are you not here to work?" He said, "Madam, this is not my office. This is my office. I have to respect my office. I respect my customers." He said, I want them to know that this is, I'm enjoying the dignity of labor. I'm working, I earn everything, and I want to appear neat in my office. Because of that, I saw hundreds and thousands of people say, "Give us the telephone number, we'll call him." And so the guy is having more work now. He's going to begin to employ people very soon. He will gather the other one, he say, "Go and change your dress, come. He said, "You don't understand what I'm talking about." Some of us are doing the way we do our things, the way we run our church services, children are running up and down and everything, and then everybody is playing on our... Which decent man will come to that kind of church? Which decent man will come? You're not organized. You say, "Oh, it's because we are not yet many." Oh, come on now. If you know anything about me, I can follow you up as if we are 20 people. I will go through WhatsApp. I will go through Messenger. I will go through text messages. I will go through phone call. So, send someone after them. Let there be discipline. Let them know that this is a disciplined house. They come in, sit down, and arrange yourself, and let the church be organized. And they say, "When are we going to start?" I say, "We don't know. Remember, I don't want you to come there." And then you see this one eating granola, this one eating corn, and the service is supposed to have started 10 minutes ago, and we're just playing, and then we're talking. I mean, somebody has started prayer. Two people are making conversation here. "Hey, please, Lord, forgive me. Whatever happens when we appear before you, I'll kill you with my own hands. We'll go to heaven and settle it." You can't do that while I pastor you. I don't take it. You can't be having conversation where the service is going on here. How can you do that? I was somewhere recently, and one of my members who had been our members 18 years ago was when, you know, they were transferred. And then somebody who didn't know me said, "My sister is around. She says she wants to see you." I just continued the worship. And then when we finished, and he said, "Who's the person?" I said, "You should wait till after the service." And after the service, I said, "Where is the person?" He said, "Oh, no, she was passing by." I said, "Sorry. Once the service starts, I don't attend to people. If it's not life and death, nothing moves me here. The man we are here to worship is greater than everybody else. And every other thing can wait." She said this. He said, "If it is the man I know, once service starts, you can't get him out." Now, he has already told the man. The man said, "Don't worry, I will bring him out." Do you understand what I'm talking about? You need to be known for something. Bind yourself. Discipline yourself. Let your service be organized. Look like a corporate, a church that can welcome people. Because if everybody is coming with bathroom slipper to your church and I enter, I say, oh, is this how they do it? You say, I hope we see you tomorrow. I say, if by evening you will see me. You never see me in your church again. Be disciplined. Be discreet. Do something to allow for growth. Care for people. Reach out to them. Accept obstacles as calling to higher heights. Prove that you have what it takes to overcome. It can only lead you to a higher ground, not anything less. Increase your capacity to overcome difficulties. Increase. Some years ago, there was somewhere I was living. Years later, I moved. I'm living somewhere now. I am trusting for somewhere better of my own. You say, are you not being arrogant? Are you not being proud? I am at liberty to believe for what I want to believe. Is that okay? So leave me alone. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. May the government of God increase in your life. May your physical body begin to take delivery of increase. May your finance take delivery of increase. May the things God has given to you begin to get revealed to you. Holy Spirit, multiply the wisdom and understanding in the lives of these people. Multiply their understanding, revelation. Open their eyes. Open their understanding. Help them to come to know who they are. And Lord, by your Spirit, reset us to our default setting of multiplication and increase. Today we refuse the spirit of smallness. We refuse what keeps us down there. We refuse the mindset that we are not made for greater things. Father, we refuse. I just want you to say to the Lord, I release myself. I release myself for increase.